Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 301, Baby Steps to Quilting. Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can now find a whole bunch of links to things that are pertinent and up and coming on my Linktree page, and that is available through my Instagram profile. Instagram is interesting in that it allows you to put a link on your profile, but only one. And so Linktree is a bit of a way to get around that and provide lots of links and information all in one place. So if you visit Instagram, check out my Linktree there. You can find links to some of the things I'll talk about on this episode, as well as a link to my podcast and my Ko-fi page. Thank you to listeners who have supported me on Ko-fi. I am so touched and appreciative, and your contribution will help me to bring some additional and interesting content to the Ko-fi page and to this podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's so good to be here with you and share some notes about my recent making. In early November, I spent an absolutely blissful weekend with my fiber friends, Sarah and Emily. We stayed in an Airbnb in a near-to-me location in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and enjoyed some crafting, good food, some bird sightings, lots of laughter. It was really just restorative and absolutely luxurious just to have a full weekend with no other obligation than to reconnect with good friends. Sarah has some footage of our time together and our crafting on a recent episode of her Fiber Trek podcast. So if you haven't seen that video cast, I recommend you take a look. She is going to be turning the year very soon with some episodes talking about different crafts, including one that we did together and which I'll talk a little bit more about in this episode. Since that retreat weekend, I have begun thinking a little bit about some Christmas gifts, including one for Samuel with yarn that he picked out when we visited the New York Sheep and Wool Festival together. We visited the Springtide Farm booth. Let me just make sure I'm getting that right. Springtide Farm in Bremen, Maine, and they sell cashmere yarn. Samuel's not allergic to wool, but he does not prefer wool. He's incredibly sensitive to anything with even the least bit of prickle factor. So I thought it would be fun to knit with cashmere, and he picked out some deep gray. It's kind of like a purple-leaning gray, and some black yarn. This booth is located in the two-story barn at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. It's one of my favorite places because it's just beautiful inside, and when you're upstairs, you can look down and see all of the shopping and all of the goods downstairs. It's just a really special element of Rhinebeck, I think. So he picked, chose three skeins, and I did pick up a few patterns that were available for this lace weight cashmere yarn. But I continued to search for a pattern idea that would work for something for Samuel. And I came upon a pattern called Wedgwood by Stephen West. This is a pattern that's been around for a while, but I had never seen it or I didn't remember it. And I really like Stephen West's patterns for accessories for men. A lot of the most loved objects that I have made for Samuel are done with Stephen West patterns. And this Wedgwood has garter stitch borders and stockinette stitch short row wedges. And the entire scarf is shaped like a wedge, with one end much narrower than the other. And then at the end of knitting it, you can create three I-cord loops, and those loops can fasten around three buttons that you attach. So like many of Stephen West's accessory designs, there are multiple ways that you could style and wear it. I thought this would be a great choice for this yarn, but I made some initial selections of stitch counts and needle size that did not work out. So I've restarted this three times. I've started it a total of four times, and I think I'm going pretty well with it now that I have opted for US 1.5 needles. And I have also reduced the cast on stitch count by 40 stitches. So you do cast on the entire length of the scarf. And one of the times when I decided that the gauge was really too loose for a scarf, and in particular for a man's scarf, one of the times when I ripped it out, I just laid it out so I could get an idea of the length of this thing, not bunched up on my circular needles. And it seemed like it was a little bit long. So I reduced the cast on stitch count, and that has had the happy result of being less knitting overall as well. So I'm less likely to run out of yarn. And the gauge is quite a bit more dense. I think I will not entirely know if this is perfect for Samuel until I finish the scarf, but I'm having tons of fun knitting with this absolutely gorgeous cashmere, and I have a feeling it will be good, that he will like it. And if it's not, I can already attest to the fact that this cashmere is pretty good at being ripped out and re-knit, so I could always try making something else, or maybe I will just keep this scarf for myself if he doesn't find it suitable. So we'll see. But I have plenty of time to work on this project and finish it before Christmas, and I'm really enjoying it. So once again, that's the Wedgwood scarf with cashmere, lace weight cashmere from Springtide Farm in Maine. This past weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, I went with my friend Dee to Hope's Favorite Things in her schoolhouse location, the Wool School, to do a bit of shopping, as she had set up a lot of things that were left when she closed the shop pre-pandemic, and also some new things, including new slate belt yarn that she has had milled over the course of the pandemic. And it was great to visit with Hope and some of the other customers and to play around in the fiber with Dee and to pick out some yarn for a future project. I think I mentioned a few episodes back that issue 53 of Taproot, the amend issue, had two knitting patterns that I was interested in making, and I have completed the hat pattern in that issue, but there are still the Winter Light Mittens to be knit. This is a pattern by Abby Goodman. I think it calls for worsted or Aran weight yarn. I think worsted weight yarn. And one of the purchases I made at Rhinebeck was some Black Welsh Mountain yarn. It is a beautiful, very deep brown, kind of natural black. There's not too much darker you can get in naturally colored yarns than Black Welsh Mountain. And this is beautiful stuff. I think it would be great for mittens. And for the color work on the mittens, I selected some of Hope's Slate Belt yarn, which is a little bit, has a bit of fuzziness to it. And I think that will come forward really well with the color work design and be really a lot of fun to combine these two farm yarns into some mittens for the winter. So that's kind of an up and coming project, maybe a January project. And I have been enjoying the mittens I have on hand. So I think it might be time for another pair of those. I've been taking some baby steps toward quilting. Quite a few of my knitting and crafting friends are experienced quilters or are jumping into quilting. It's never held a great deal of interest to me until just recently. First, I had a lot of fun using scrap fabrics, scrap ribbon, binding, and other things to make these cookie cutter quilties, as I call them. It's a machine quilting technique that uses up a lot of fiber and fabric scraps. And then I used a cookie cutter shape to create the design, cut it out, and make some ornaments out of it. And I'm going to be hosting a class here at Yinhu Studio on two different occasions, kind of a make and take. I will walk everyone through the whole process of making the quilted portion, but really it's just an opportunity for everything to be provided and available for you to make some ornaments and take them home with very little effort. So I have a link to those classes on my link tree. And already there are some registrants, so I'm really excited about teaching this class. Then I started looking again through the amend issue of Taproot, issue 53, and I found an article about making a seasonal fabric garland by Kim Conan. It involves doing a little bit of strip piecing with fabric scraps and then affixing those scraps to a felt back and just machine sewing a tree design and then cutting it out. And once you have these gorgeous little scrappy trees, you could make individual ornaments out of them or you could string them into a garland. I spent an entire afternoon this past weekend sorting through fabric scraps, making some strips, sewing them together, and then putting the backing on and making these darling little trees. I had more fun with that than I ever anticipated I might, which leads me to believe I may be on my way to a larger quilting project. I also noticed over the course of the past few weeks that there is a zine available from the All Well Workshop on making individual letters using quilting techniques. Amy Bornman is the creator of the All Well box top that's been so incredibly popular, and she has thought her way through making every letter of the alphabet in a streamlined fashion. So you could plan ahead. It's not exactly paper piecing or sort of like one-off letters, but a very structured way of making your letters, building words, building maybe a phrase or a saying or a sentence with those letters, and then creating some sort of banner. The only thing left to determine is what the words might be, what they might say. So I have downloaded her zine, I have bound myself a copy, and I've read through it a couple of times, understanding her technique and her approach. And now I'm just really on the lookout for the word, phrase, or saying that might be appropriate for my first project. It's been a while since I've done any garment sewing, but over the course of this weekend, I had a lot of time for crafting this weekend. It was really glorious. Over the course of this weekend, I laundered and ironed and cut out all of the pieces for the Maynard dress. That's Maynard, the Maynard dress from LB Textiles. And this is a zero waste garment. So it's a little tricky and unusual the way the whole thing is put together, but I am excited about the notion of creating something that is zero waste. And it really is astonishing how little fabric is needed for a, it's kind of like a midi to maxi length dress with some fullness to it and a collar. And yet it's, I think it's less than 2 yards of fabric to make this dress. It is a wide fabric, so you need 55 to 57 inch wide fabric, but not very much of it. So I had a 3 or 4 yard piece and I still have quite a bit left over. And I have cut everything and made all of the necessary marks on the fabric so that I am ready to begin the process of sewing it. I've also watched a couple of tutorials and videos where sewists talk through some of their tips and some of their reflections about this project. It fits a lot differently than typical garments, and it's recommended that you make a toile because the first one might fit in a bit of an awkward way and you have to figure it out and adjust to that. I think I'm just going to go with my black linen and make my first version, and if that doesn't work out, it could just be something that I wear around the house or wear in the garden, that kind of thing. Or maybe I'll get lucky and it will work out okay. So over the next few weeks, I do plan to put some energy into sewing up that dress and maybe having it as an option for the holidays. Last year at this time, I began a 100-day project wearing the same wool and wool dress from Black Friday through early March. And as the days of November wore on, I thought quite a bit about what I would like to do for this year's 100 days project. I feel like it is a really good time of year to begin a project like this. It's sort of a distraction from a lot of the consumerism of the holidays and just the stresses of the holidays. And I really enjoyed the project that I did last year. I thought I would be taking up something with stitching, hand sewing, or embroidery. I really, really did. But in the week leading up to Thanksgiving, there were several different incidents, a series of incidents that led me to understand that what I really need in my life right now is more poetry and a return or a deeper connection to poetry. And so I decided that I would read a poem every day. And just kind of find my way through it. What ends up happening is I open a book of poetry and I don't read one poem. I read several. I skim through and sort of find something that interests me. And then I've been tucking that poetry book into my school bag. And sometimes I have the opportunity to read that poem to a student or a colleague or someone at work. I've also been reading poems during the morning yoga practice that Samuel and I have been doing. So I feel very much at peace with the decision to spend 100 days reading more poems and immersing myself in poetry. I think that also could be the means of finding the phrase or poetic fragment that I might turn into my first quilting project. It could be. I'm on the lookout. And as always, it is a means for finding poetry that I can read to you, dear listeners. I have an idea that I would like to record myself reading all 100 of these poems for you, perhaps in groups of 10. It's something I need to spend a little more time thinking about. But for today, I'm going to share with you the poem I chose for day one of this project. It's Trophic Cascade. It's the title poem of a collection by Camille Dungy. And she is a poet, she is a professor, and she is also the host of a podcast called Immaterial. It's sponsored in part by the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and it takes as its topic the different kinds of media and materials that visual artists use. The first episode is about paper. The second is about concrete. I think the third is about clay. She interviews artists and curators and researchers in the field, and she sort of blends these ideas with her own poetic sense to create a really very interesting podcast. I was listening to it, in fact, as I was doing some quilting over this past weekend, and it was a very nice pairing. So this is Trophic Cascade. If you've never heard of this term, Trophic Cascade refers to this very powerful indirect interaction that can control entire ecosystems. For example, repopulating areas of the West with gray wolves, and then the ensuing changes that happen in the ecosystem as a result of that reintroduction. So she kind of starts with a lot of explanation of what that is, and the poem makes a turn to something much more personal. Trophic Cascade. After the reintroduction of gray wolves to Yellowstone, and, as anticipated, their culling of deer, trees grew beyond the deer stunt of the mid-century. In their upreach, songbirds nested, who scattered seed for underbrush, and in that cover, warrened snowshoe hare. Weasel and water shrew returned, also vole, and came soon hawk and falcon, bald eagle, kestrel, and with them hawk shadow, falcon shadow. Eagle shade and kestrel shade haunted newly buried runnels, where mule deer no longer rummaged, cautious as they were now of being surprised by wolves. Berries brought bear, while undergrowth and willows, growing now right down to the river, brought beavers who dam. Muskrats came to the dams and tadpoles. Came, too, the night song of the fathers of tadpoles. With water striders, the dark gray American dipper bobbed in fresh pools of the river and fish stayed, and the bear who fished also culled deer fawns. And to their kill scraps came vulture and coyote, long gone in the region until now, and their scattered seed, and more trees, brush, and berries grew up along the river that had run straight, and so flooded, but thus dammed, compelled to meander, is less prone to overrun. Don't you tell me this is not the same as my story. All this life born from one hungry animal, this whole new landscape, the course of the river changed. I know this. I reintroduced myself to myself, this time a mother, after which nothing was ever the same. Thanks for listening, and thank you so much for supporting the work I do in making this podcast. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week with lots of time for the crafting that you enjoy. Until next time, bye.